This week on Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I open up a bottle of Black Flame as we talk about Duck Duck Goat and Day/Night of the Living Ales. And there's some great events happening this weekend, so be sure to listen to find out more. What did we do these last 3 weeks, Zoe? What'd you make it to?
Yeah, because, you know, you got a cork popped out, boop, and it just flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? What you think it is?
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Rah, rah, rah.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Hey, I'm Nick White.
And we're back again with another episode to talk about our drinking adventures.
We're back, man.
And if you've never listened to this show, what Nick and I try to do, we talk about the beer events we went to in the past week, and then we break down all these great events that you should be checking out, that we should be checking out, and then we go over some news at the end of the show. But we kick things off with some drinking. That's the most important part about any beer podcast.
It is definitely
the drinking.
Definitely.
I don't think you can have a beer podcast without the alcohol, right?
Let me see. We need something to record it so we can prove it happened.
Right.
And we got a drink.
Yeah. Done. So this week you brought in something from Three Floyds. You made it out there, made the trek across state lines, smuggled it back in, and we got some War Pigs.
Yeah, man. So this is their collab with McKellar. So Three Floyds and McKellar have a brewery in Denmark called War Pigs. And this is the Black Flame Imperial Stout. So it's weird, man. So like the first beer I had that night on draft was, you know, War Pigs. And Floyd's is doing this thing now where they barely mention what type of style it is. Mm-hmm. They definitely don't tell you what hops they're using. And then in some descriptions, it's just like this really random description of the beer without telling you what it is at all.
And you just have to be like, it's Three Floyds, so it's probably fantastic, so I will take it.
So I had it, you know, I'm like, let me get that. And it was great on draft. So I'm like, and I was like, yo, after like four different beers, I'm like, this was the best beer I had. So I'm like, do you have this in bottles by chance? She's like, yeah, we totally have it.
Oh, great.
So I ended up grabbing like three of them.
All right, nice. You know, in the little store next door.
Yeah, and they're super awesome, speedy. To go.
It's like a to go window.
Yeah.
Really. It's basically like if it was a taco stand,
yes,
it would be that, but you could get beer and
right,
other merch.
I guess the bartender's probably like tired of like selling to go beer.
Oh, yeah.
They move sure. I'm betting they move a lot of beer out of
there. Well, they probably didn't want people coming in the bar and be like, oh, fill up the growler, and then just go over there.
Yeah.
Get away from these people. They're trying to enjoy their food.
You got to regulate that intake process, man. You know, sitting down, you come here. You want something to go, you go over there.
Yeah.
I think I was telling my buddy, I got a buddy at Finch, Nick, because I saw him at Floyd's that night. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, dude, for me, this is what Dark Lord should taste like. And obviously, Dark Lord is a coffee beer. It's got tons of, you know, dark matter in it.
Yeah.
And he's like, get the hell out of here. You're crazy. But I was serious. I'm like, I like this a lot more than I like Dark Lord.
This is good. So basically, it's a hoppy stout.
Yes.
It's a hop stout.
Yeah, it's a hop stout.
And it's kind of sweet, almost a little tart, but it has a big bite to it.
Yeah, and it's got this weird, like, kind of dark fruit, almost got this spice, like a tobacco note in there. Like, it's got some really fun, complex things, and that's why I like it, you know. Yeah.
Do we know what's it come in at? It feels like it's probably pretty big, right?
Yeah, it's a 12.7.
Oh, man, we're slamming this bottle pretty fast. So let's get rolling on this. When we left last week, you were off to go drink and eat at the Goat.
The little one. Still haven't been to the big one yet,
okay,
but I did go to Little Goat. Founders was in town.
Okay.
And Founders,
the brewery, not a founder.
No, yeah, the Founders Brewery from Grand Rapids, Michigan. They were in town, and they had a dinner, like a 20-person dinner with Stephanie Iser from Little Goat. So they have this little private dining room upstairs. You go up there,
mm-hmm,
and the Founders guys were really cool, man. He told me, and I hadn't really thought about this. He's like, dude, Chicago's our number one account because Grand Rapids, Michigan
sucks.
Grand Rapids is not a bad town. It's just as far from Detroit as it is from Chicago.
Okay.
They're relatively the same distance. So he's like, man, and you know, it's easier to get to Chicago, and then once you're in Chicago, you can pass through like South Bend
it's
and all
better.
That stuff. It's a better route for them.
I meant a better city.
So he says that, and he's like, and that made sense, but I didn't think about that until he told me.
Okay.
You know, so they brought out a lot of their backstage beers, you know, so the Return of Blushing Monk, and then, you know, Canadian Breakfast Stout,
ooh,
and Black Rye, which is another one. That was really good.
Black Rye. I don't think I've ever had or seen Black Rye.
Yeah, it's a backstage beer that came out late 2014. Mm-hmm. And before that, it hadn't seen the streets since 2005.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So he was, they were kind of explaining the philosophy behind the backstage series and how, hey, you know, we don't do a lot of marketing, but our tap room in Grand Rapids is our testing ground for a lot of these things, you know, and the beers that people love in the tap room, those are the beers that they make in the backstage series.
Oh, cool. Okay. Yeah.
So, he shared a story about a Canadian breakfast stout. Apparently there's this, this maple syrup that's like $26 a bottle for like a 10-ounce bottle. Yeah. And it's, so the guy bourbon barrel ages this maple syrup and he's friends with the guy. So the guy brings him over all these bottles of syrup, you know, the guys in the lab get a hold of it. You know, they drop maybe, 2 ounces of it in a glass of breakfast stout and then boom, you know, Eureka.
That's how it came to be.
That's how it came to be. Yeah. So it was really cool. They talked about their expansion to Spain as well, Founders Brewing did.
That's right, because they got not bought out, but took money from this Spanish company, right?
Yeah, so there's this the seventh generation Spanish brewer. He's got 7 breweries in Spain.
He's a seventh generation, and he has 7 breweries.
And he's crazy. And he's like 600 years old. He's like, you know, this family owned operation. Yeah. You know, they were at a point where they were saying, hey, we have to expand this thing, but are we going to sell to Bud? They met with Bud.
Yeah.
Are we going to sell to Bud? Are we going to sell to, you know, Miller Coors and just become this commodity? Or are we just going to do what we do and then just open a different market? Yeah. So they decided this was the best thing to do. Okay. So they sold, I believe, 30% of their company to this Spanish brewer. And the plan is to basically make all the beers they make now, but make them in Spain. Build a smaller brewery and have it be a founder's production facility so that, you know, he said, hey, from Grand Rapids, Michigan to markets in Europe is like a 40-day wait time, you know.
For their beer.
Yeah, deliver beer to Europe takes about 40 days from Grand Rapids. Okay. And he's like, that's no good on beers like, you know, Centennial, you know.
Yeah, why did I try to push this market that's getting crowded here in the U.S. when you can go over there and kind of start building your brand there and growing more in Spain, where it's not as American craft beer hasn't exploded there.
Yeah, and they've got a strong belief now that, you know, hey, they want to change their focus is changing. So they want to change the way, you know, the world drinks, mm-hmm. not just change the way Americans drink. Okay. You know, they're like, craft beer is a global phenomenon. We're not changing anything. We're just going to get it to as many different people as we can.
Oh, that's cool.
So it was nice, man. Oh, and then so Stephanie was there, and Stephanie Iser, the chef at Girl and the Goat, and her dishes ended up being like all Asian inspired dishes. This was clearly like a sneak peek of what you're going to see from her new restaurant.
Right, Duck Duck Goat.
Duck Duck Goat,
which is going to be across the street from Publican.
Right? Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's either across the street or the same building down. It's basically right at that corner.
Okay. Yeah. So that's. She's kind of taking over that whole little strip, man.
Yeah, she's going to push the Publican out, I think.
So that was nice. And the cool part about this upstairs space is that it's a kitchen. Yeah. So it's Stephanie. She's like, she comes out. She's like, hey, you know, these are the dishes we're having. This is why I picked these dishes. And you can come to the kitchen and say hi, but I'm going to go back here and cook.
Cool.
So it's like you're in her kitchen, and, you know, while you're eating dish one, she's preparing dish two. So it's a very cool scene, you know, like super small, and, you know, you got the guys from Founders Brewing there, you got the guys from, you know, the distributor there, Lakeshore Beverage, and then you got Stephanie there, so it was good.
But I've only been through that area when I go up to the patio. Mm-hmm. That's the only reason I've ever really been in that room.
Yeah, and that was the only time I've been there at all.
Cool.
So that was solid, man. So
nice. Anything else you did this week then?
I went to the Winter Brewers Bash at Eataly.
Oh, okay.
Eataly is like that big, crazy Italian supermarket. We talked about it.
Yeah. They now have their brewing there, and they have their own beers, and they have the one in New York and the one in Italy.
Yeah, yeah. I think there's one in Italy, too. So they were debuting a beer there, and then they brought out 4 different guys, you know, all on the same distributor. So, mm-hmm. you know, Floyd's, Rev, and Balladine, which is the collab in Dogfish Head.
Yeah.
You know, so I got to try the black, what is it, Lead Feather from Half Acre, which is really nice. The Half Acre guys were sharing a story about how, you know, they changed the name of their Hayoka, the IPA that won at JBF, they changed the name to Sunita because these, Native American groups were complaining about the name.
Yeah.
You know, And so they said, yeah, they organized this protest to call Half Acre like 200 times, like Jeez. On the same day, you know. And Half Acre's like, okay, we get it.
Yeah, we're not like tied to that name.
We're not. Yeah, fine. Yeah, it's not written in stone. We'll change the name.
Yeah.
Yeah. The cool part about Eataly is that, you know, this is a Thursday night, and they just kind of dropped this craft beer fest like in the middle of the market. So, you know, you got the cheesemonger on this side, you know, you got the flatbread pizzas on this side, or actually, like, you know, the oven pizzas, not flatbread.
Just coal fire?
Yeah, coal fire okay. pizzas. Yeah, and then, you know, and then you got the wine
guy. The microwave oven pizzas.
And in the middle of the second floor is this festival. So people who are curious can come walk in and out, you know, it's not very... It's very informal, but there's booths. There's still like pouring stations.
Okay.
You know, and each brewery just bought two beers, which is cool.
Nice. So pretty small then.
Yeah, yeah. The place is packed.
Sure.
But
I still haven't been there. I'm not downtown that often, so I'm definitely not downtown to go grocery shopping. So I don't really have any other reason to go there.
That's true. Yeah. Well, yeah. It's very true. Oh, so I got the scoop on. I met Tyler, who's the brewmaster over there. So mm-hmm. apparently, this is his first brewmaster job.
Oh, wow.
So he's from New York. He volunteered in the kitchen at the Eataly in New York.
Uh-huh.
And then he transitioned into helping around the brew house. And then he worked his way up to assistant brewer. And then when the Chicago job opened, you know, he applied for it. And this is his very first brewmaster gig.
Oh, that's crazy. Because I know we had talked about who the brewmaster might be, if they were going to try to get someone big in Chicago to kind of be the flagship of the Chicago Eataly. So.
Right, yeah. I saw one of the ladies from the Windy City Beer Biddies. She's volunteering over there. And oh, cool. Yeah,
like it was a good brewer?
Time. No, as a, just like a, yeah, I think as an assistant brewer. It's okay. Quite possible, yeah. She was definitely pouring their beers, and she knew a lot about them. So she, you know, brand ambassador or brewer, one of the two. So,
drinker.
Yeah.
She's just... a drunk in there all the time.
So that was good. That was a good party. I had to leave with some cheese, man. I left with some Parmesan Reggiano, 36 months.
Yeah.
I started to roll out with some of the Lavazza beans, man. But they wanted $40 for a bag of these beans, man. And I'm looking at the roast date.
Yeah.
It's like September from 2014.
Oh, wow. That's silly.
I'm like, dude, what are you doing? What are you doing to me?
Those should be discounted.
So I just left with the cheese, man. Cheese was awesome.
Yeah, cheese is fine,
yeah.
However old, right? Yeah. Very cool. Well, I made it over to Night of the Living Ales.
Yes.
Also, it is referred to on the internet as Night of the Living Farts.
You got a bunch of old men in there. Yeah.
They're drinking beer, warm beer. It's usually a crowded space, but this time... Enough about farts, but this time it was not a crowded space. It was over at Bottom Lounge this year. For the first time, they've changed locations in I don't even know how many years.
Now, this is upstairs in the volcano room?
Yeah. And they took out all those pinball machines, and then the beer kind of ran around the walls. There was, I think, 40 firkins? I want to say 40. 30 or 40.
Yeah.
And... it was great. You could actually walk around and get beers you wanted. You weren't like shoved in with people and trying to like reach, and as other people just stood there in front of the taps, just getting more and more.
Yeah.
They had a few tables set up, but those kind of got scooped up right away by people.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was a good time. When I first got there, I got there a little late, and there was a line for like a Teeny Bopper show to get into Bottom Lounge. Oh, yeah,
because Bottom Lounge is barely open during the week unless there's a show there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this was Saturday night,
okay.
So I'm surprised they have such a young audience there on Saturday nights. It's usually a different kind of band. But yeah. I started to wait in line for that at first, like just the line, because it was a line to get in.
Yeah.
And I text some friends. I was like, hey, do you guys in there? Do I need to wait? And they're like, nah, just walk in. So I just had to walk past all these little girls and their moms. It's like, they're like, beer fest? And like,
that's
funny.
Because I know they do, because that space upstairs, they do concert. Much smaller than the venue downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But the concert was downstairs.
Okay.
And the beer event was upstairs. So
okay.
There's definitely two totally different groups of people there that shouldn't have ever been in the same building.
Little collision of little worlds colliding there.
Mm-hmm. In the past, since it's been at Goose Island Wrigley.
Yeah,
Goose Island Wrigley.
Yeah.
They've had free food that Goose Island's provided.
Yeah.
This time there was no food unless you bought food from Bottom Lounge.
Yeah.
So I did not partake in any of that. So after 40 samples, you're kind of getting a little tipsy there.
Yeah. So you just go downstairs and order food?
Yeah, okay. You could go downstairs and order food, or they had a menu upstairs, and they were bringing food up, too. So
okay.
They had a bunch of their normal stuff and a few other things that they were just doing for the event, like different kinds of fries and stuff like that.
Now, were there some beers that were more popular than others? Like, were there's like a more of a crowd for some than others?
There was a few beers that ran out quickly. I think Yum Yum from Three Floyds ran out fairly quickly, but nothing that was like a giant line for.
Okay.
They'd had that Lead Feathers from Half Acre. Yeah. That was definitely
it was a great beer. That's a really good beer.
Mm-hmm. Goose Island had a version of Floor. That was their kombucha sister. And they were having issues before getting alcohol levels correctly, because you have to be within, like, I think a 0.2 percentage per bottle, and they couldn't get in that range off of every bottle because of the kombucha.
Yeah.
So that's been gone, and this is a different recipe now, but it was fantastic still. So.
Yeah, I remember that beer, and it was a really nice summer beer,
mm-hmm.
you know, almost kind of hints of, like, peach and, like, blackberry tea.
Yeah.
Right? That's a nice beer. Mm-hmm. It was like a Belgian.
And then Metropolitan had another version of Crankshaft with habaneros in it.
Yeah.
They said they used, I think, 4 habaneros this time, and it still wasn't very spicy. Last year they used 2. And they're like, oh, okay, let's crank up the heat this year and go 4.
Yeah.
And it really didn't add anything more to it. So next year they may go all out and be like, it might be more habanero than crankshaft.
Mm. They always do well at those events. Yeah. That's cool. I know they do they do winners at this thing too. It's like a contest too.
Yeah, you vote per session.
I
feel like Rev won.
Oh, yeah, six. And they do. So they do a 6 and over winner.
Yeah, this percent. Was the first time they did that.
And like a 6 and under.
Because in years past, you know, like Bourbon County Stout was running away with it because everyone's like, well, I don't know, I want to get drunk, and this is like the best beer.
Yeah.
But when you have something like Crankshaft with habaneros, that's not the same beer as Bourbon County with whatever they want to throw in it this time. So it was neat for them to do a 6 and over and a 6 and under category.
That makes sense.
And I did not take notes on who won during my session.
Right.
I just know Revolution won maybe for their mild.
Yeah. Let's check it out.
Oh, you're pulling up the list of winners?
Yeah, let's see who won here. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, see, you didn't have to take notes. You already knew. Yeah, for over 6%, Revolution won for their Winter Woman.
Right.
And then the champion beer for 6 and over was Imperial Oak Brewing.
Yeah, that was pretty. That was solid. I did not vote for that one as a winner, but it was a good one.
Yeah, that was called Abbey Oscuro. And then the 6 and under category, Goose Island Clybourne won for Cran Brewing. That was a favorite beer.
I was not a fan of that one.
No. The champion beer was Half Acre's Lead Feather.
Yep.
And then there's a Golden Tut Award. Not sure what that means, but Tighthead won for Irie IPA.
Yeah,
which is good. I've had that before.
Yeah, that was a solid beer.
Yeah, that is a solid beer. I like Irie, and I like
they had also
Scarlet Fire. They have a red ale called Scarlet Fire, which is nice.
Yeah, that was good. They also had their coffee porter going.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Huh. It was good. Less farts, so that was a plus. There was a moment where someone did crop dust me and some people, and I think some girls thought it was me and my friends because I saw them out of the corner of my eye take like. 2 big steps.
They're back. Looking at B-Rad like, bro.
Like, man, get it wasn't together. Me, come on. I even know why. It's not even the beer's not even carbonated. Like, why are you? And there wasn't even free cheese. What's going on here? But that was Night of Living Ales. Good time. I think Bottom Lounge was a great space for it. So hopefully they continue doing it there.
I really like Bottom Lounge as a venue. I think Bottom Lounge is really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that was my big event for this week. Should we get into the upcoming week then?
Let's dive right into it, man. Where do you want to start? Wednesday? We got anything?
Wednesday,
all right. Wednesday, March 3rd. March already.
I know.
This is Wednesday, 7 p.m., March 3rd. A night with Brew Vivant. Brew Vivant's up in Grand Rapids. They're going to be at Fountainhead. They've got 5 beers, and they're calling these pub exclusives. I guess you can't find these beers outside of their Grand Rapids pub.
Oh, okay.
One of them's going to be on Cask. They're a Bon Papa Farmhouse IPA. It's going to be in a cask with Amarillo. That's on Wednesday, 7 p.m., March 3rd.
At Fountainhead.
Yeah. Cool. I heard that. I haven't been up there to Brew Vivant yet, but I heard it's like in a funeral home. that's like a retired funeral home.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's like the active funeral home. That's real weird. Like there for a funeral, you're like, eh, guess I'll get another pour.
Yeah, you know, like you walk past that and then there's like this pub. That's funny.
Crazy. Anything on Thursday though?
No, I got nothing Thursday.
All right. Then Friday, March 6th, is Drink and Draw at 18th Street. So out in Indiana. Mm-hmm. This is their Drink and Draw. I think it's been moved to the first Friday night of the month. I think this is a thing that they do pretty often. So it's going to be the first Friday of every month now. Basically, you go drink beer and draw. Hang out.
Done.
Doodle. I don't know. Paint. Whatever you want to do. Show off your work. Meet some other artists. And, you know, get drunk.
Yeah.
So that's in Indiana at 18th Street, which I still haven't been to.
Yeah. Man. I've been out there once. This is a solid pub. And I know they bought the place next door. So now it's got a full kitchen and event space, that kind of thing.
Cool.
Yeah.
Nice. Anything else on Friday?
No, nothing on Friday. Should we go into Saturday, March 7th?
Yeah, we got a bunch of events that day.
All right. So Saturday is International Women's Collaboration Brew Day. This is the Pink Boots Society is putting this on.
Okay.
So I don't know if it was Pink Boots last year, but they did do a all-woman crew, like, beer tribute. It was at Rock Bottom Chicago.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, they called the beer 99 Problems, which was cool.
Nice, okay.
It was like a Saison with hibiscus. And so this one's going to be at the Roundhouse Chicago. I'm sorry, Roundhouse is not Chicago.
Yeah, in Aurora.
Yeah, that's in Aurora. Yeah.
With their three-barrel system.
Yeah, right? The place is like 300,000 square feet. It's got like a three-barrel system.
All
right. You love the Two Brothers Roundhouse, man. Every show, I'm telling you.
So do they brew, but I felt like they also did this at Temperance because it's been about that this time
yeah,
last
I think you're
year
right.
We were –
I think
to
you're
Claudia
right. So I'm thinking of 2 years ago.
That yeah, she had everyone there and they brewed. I'm forgetting what the beer was.
I don't
we
know
had
what
it
was
we had it. Oh, it was the shit. It had like melons, something with melons.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. When life gives you melons.
When life gives you melons.
Yeah, I do yeah. remember this now. So the one the brew day I'm talking about was 2 years ago. Then
okay,
I'm way off.
So last
it's all one blur, man. It's all one. It all feels like 1 week.
That's what alcohol does to you.
Yeah, but you're right. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Because, yeah, at Temperance, they did this last year. And there's pictures because, yeah, I felt like it was around this time we were, you know, talking with Claudia on the beer pass.
Yeah, that's true. So if you don't want to drive out to the Roundhouse, the good folks at 10th and Blake, they've got a bus, and you can RSVP to get a spot on the bus to go out there. Mm. And, yeah, it's International Women's Brew Day. And it's cool. Like you say, you see these photos, and, you know, it's like – all these women in beer, you know, whether it's a distributor or from, you know, if they're a sales rep for a brewery or they're an actual brewster themselves,
mm-hmm.
you know, they all get together and make a beer in celebration of women.
Cool.
Gotta love that.
Nice. Definitely looking forward to trying their beer when it's all finished and done. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also Saturday is Scratch second anniversary party. So Scratch is a brewery.
Okay.
Out in Ava, Illinois.
That's way down south. Might as well be Kentucky.
Yeah, yeah. It's barely, it's not Chicago, but it's far. But I forget about Scratch, probably because they're so far away.
Yeah.
But I think they're guild members.
Yep, they're guild members. And there's pubs around town that like their stuff a lot.
Okay. Yeah. And we were talking about this before, they're foragers.
Yeah, so like the brewery sits, it either sits next to a farm or on a farm. And
well, when you're that far south, everything's next to the farm.
And, you know, and they go out of their way to like, you know, they're like how Groot was made before they discovered hops, where they would get the boil going and they would just, you know, anything they had on their grounds, you know, that was edible, they'd throw in there just to just see, you know, see what stuck, you know.
Okay.
This is a very similar setup, you know. They've got a lot of wild what am I saying?
Just wild stuff. wild animals out there in the woods.
A lot of wild plants and, yeah, like edible plants out there that they don't mind experimenting with in their beer.
Mushrooms.
You're talking about mushrooms. You're tripping balls. You drink something from scratch. Let me tell you.
So this is $25. We'll get you 12 tasting tickets. And, you know, I think you'll get a little snifter or glass to take home as well.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they'll be sampling a bunch of their beers. I think they got some beers from other people as well. So it should be a fun time.
That's something I'd be down for hitting.
If it wasn't so far.
Yeah.
Yeah, check out their website and be on the lookout for their beer too. I think I might have to keep an eye out more and give them a try.
I've had their stuff at Maria's before. Yeah. North Down Cafe, places like that.
Nice. So that's Saturday, March 6th.
Right on. And then also Saturday is the Peekaboo release party. So Peekaboo is a local band. And then Pipeworks made a beer called Peekaboo for these guys. They made it together. It's a collab beer.
Okay.
Yeah. So Peekaboo is a golden ale with blackberry and currants. So to celebrate, the band is putting on a concert. They brought four different acts, and then Pipeworks is bringing four different beers. They're going to party on Saturday night at 7 o'clock at Emporium.
Okay, is it a ticketed event, or you probably have to pay at the door?
Yeah, you probably pay a small fee at the door.
$5 or $10, I think, has been their show price.
That'd be my guess, yeah. Don't know much about Peekaboo the band. Kind of excited that, you get four Pipeworks beers at once.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it's probably a punk band.
That makes sense.
I'm going to guess punk. Just from the flyers, very... neon and let's get okay. ready to rock kind of thing.
So Pipeworks, they got Ninja versus Unicorn. And then they're debuting Easter Bunny versus Unicorn, which is a hoppy wheat ale. I'm sorry, hoppy wheat wine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Should be a good time.
Oh, yeah.
Emporium. Anything else on the calendar then?
No, that's all I got for Saturday, man. That's all I got for the week.
Yeah, me too. Wow. Saturday's a big day, but nothing else is happening. You're going to have to make your own drinking plans.
Yeah.
Well, before we get out of here, you were at Logo and you got the scoop, the dirt from all these brewers and events or news happening, breaking news.
That's
right?
True, man. We actually have a pretty healthy news segment here this week. All right, so we'll jump right into it. Local Option.
Yeah.
Local Option is
known for their 3 o'clock parties.
Yes, known for three o'clock parties and being the probably the only metal bar in Lincoln Park, mm-hmm. And one of the top 50 bars in the country annually, according to Draft Magazine.
Okay.
So solid place. So their 3 o'clock start is usually what they do. They're going to start opening as early as 7 a.m. because...
For events?
Not for events, but for a cafe.
Okay.
They're going to... they made a coffee with dark matter.
Okay.
Yeah. So
they like roasted it with them or chose the beans and...
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. So... at some point, they're going to be doing that. So they're going to be selling that one coffee and some Italian donuts. And it's going to be a cafe until the taps open at noon or 3 or whenever they kick off.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, so I eat a fair share of donuts, and I had to look up what Italian donuts were.
Yeah, yeah.
And they seem like they're more pastry donuts, more stuff that are cream-filled. Uh-huh. And I don't know, just they're a little different.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think, than normal donuts with the hole in them.
Yeah.
American donuts, I don't think they're Dunkin' donuts.
They're definitely not Dunkin' these donuts.
Yeah, you can. They might be fork and knife donuts.
Which wouldn't be bad. It's really not a bad idea.
They're classy.
Yeah.
Classy
donuts. Yeah,
Sit down, have some donuts and coffee.
And they are no strangers to coffee. The guys, because they have a beer called Morning Wood, not Dark Matter. Local Option does.
That's been like their first beer, right?
One of their first collabs. Yeah, it's an oak-aged coffee amber ale, and it uses a Dark Matter roast. El Salvador San Jose was the roast they used for that. So this sounds like, they're cool with those guys. They had fun doing that, and they're going to make another coffee.
All right, that should be interesting. It's not off a busy street, so being open for a coffee, that's kind of... Hopefully it works out for them.
Yeah, right over there in the DePaul neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Food and Wine named their best beer gardens in America.
Okay.
Recently. There were 16 total. There was one local selection. It was Sheffield's.
Sheffield's, okay.
Yeah. I love that place. It's like three bars in one. They got the front bar, and then the back they do was beer school.
Yeah.
And then they got this killer garden where they party pretty hard out there. There's a DJ out there.
Yeah.
That's where they smoke their own meats next to the beer garden. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a solid beer garden. Top 50, it's good.
He's like, it's good.
It's good. I was like, going to try to guess what could be better.
Yeah, but there were on this list of 16 for beer gardens in the city. I'm sorry, in the country. There was a couple in Portland, a couple in L.A., mm-hmm. A couple in New York, a couple in Texas, and then the others were just kind of scattered around.
Well, any place where it's nice out all year round, you got to have a good beer garden. So most of your space, you like don't even need it inside, just beer garden.
It could be like you ever go to Parsons, where like the Parsons Chicken and Fish, it's like the actual indoor space.
There's like three seats.
Yeah, and then they have their backspace runs for like a mile.
Right, it's a like, giant backyard. It's a park.
Their backyard is like three times the size of the indoor space. It's funny.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So there's this baseball team out in Schaumburg called the Kane County Cougars. Right.
Oh yeah, been to the Kruger Stadium many a times growing up.
Right on. So the two brothers guys tapped them to create a beer for them.
Okay.
You know, their major league affiliate is the Arizona Diamondbacks. So two brothers is making a beer for them. The beer is going to debut at their stadium this spring and summer, and the name of the beer is going to be the Raging Cougar Ale. It's a light hoppy pale ale, golden in color with a nutty flavor.
Okay. Man, so, this is all coming together for two brothers. You got this minor league team in the suburbs, and now they have their brew pub and distribution company in Arizona who happens to have the major league team.
The
conspiracy here, right?
Strong Arizona ties there.
I feel like we're connecting the dots here.
Yeah. These are the Kane County Cougars. They play in the Midwest League. They were 2014 Midwest League champs.
Okay.
They had a marketing campaign to name the beer. Okay. So the three finalists on the list were the Home Run Ale, the Grand Slam Ale, and the Raging Cougar, which won.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm glad they picked Raging Cougar. I mean, come on, Home Run Ale.
Yeah, that's generic.
Yeah, come on. Yeah. Grand Slam Ale.
It's also generic. Okay. Yeah. Are they going to have this beer and tap at the stadium in Arizona then? Is that probably their goal here?
I'm guessing this is going to open up, like, you're going to see this a lot, whether it's minor league or, you know, affiliate league like this stuff is. I think you're going to see this on a major league level next. I wouldn't be surprised if two brothers had a beer in Arizona. I wouldn't be surprised if somebody was making a beer for the – if I was somebody, I would have talked Wrigley into making a beer a long time ago.
Right.
That place is a beer garden. That's the that's the biggest beer garden in town. It's fucking Wrigley Field. You know, even the same thing on the south side. I think everybody's going to – because, you know – Target Field up in Minnesota, the Surly, they make a beer.
They
make a beer for the Minnesota Twins.
Oh, okay. I wonder if 21st Amendment does, because they're like two blocks from the stadium in San Francisco.
It only makes sense. So hopefully we'll see that.
Yeah.
Good beer at ballparks.
Yeah, it's always a plus in those big beer gardens.
All right, so Whole Foods. Now, I don't know if you knew this, but like over the last 12 months or so, all the Dominick's supermarkets, they went out of business. They sold a lot of their locations to Whole Foods and Mariano's.
Right.
So the Mariano's, they popped up like nothing, like out of nowhere. And then Whole Foods, they're just starting to come online, a lot of these Whole Foods that used to be Dominick's.
Yeah.
So I was talking to the Whole Foods guys at Little Goat, and the concept of the Red Bar is in Lincoln Park, where it's just, you know, like 20 beers on draft there. They're going to take that concept to all these new Whole Foods.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
So you're going to see red bars all over the place. The coolest part about that project is that Beguile is making a house beer for all of these new Whole Foods.
Wow.
Yeah. So the first three are going to be the Streeterville, the Fullerton location, and the West Loop location.
Is it going to be the same beer at every Whole Foods?
I think this is going to be a different beer.
So unique Beguile beer at every Whole Foods.
At every new Whole Foods. Yeah.
Wow.
So that's actually really cool for them. You know, Beguile, I love Beguile.
Yeah,
I think their beer's good. We had their beer last week.
Mm-hmm.
And we did, the Brew Bus did, there was part of some kind of concierge presentation at the Four Seasons Hotel.
Yeah.
So we showed up like an hour early, hit the bar, and who do I see on tap? It's fucking Beguile at the Four Seasons.
Crazy.
And I'm talking to the guys. I'm like, what's going on here? Why is Beguile here? He's like, well, you know, the chef wanted to do beer with a local brewery, and he thought no better crew to do it with than Beguile.
Damn.
I was like, that's pretty cool. Is that the fucking Four Seasons?
Wow, that's awesome.
So,
yeah. Wow, I'm excited for that and looking forward to try them beers.
Yeah. The West Loop location will be have a beer engine. So they'll have cask beers as well as draft beers.
Nice.
And one more bit of news. The Bad Dog Tavern is changing its name to MASH.
Where was Bad Dog?
It's in Lincoln Square. So in the general vicinity of like... Half Acre, Fountainhead, kind of down the street from like you know, Bad Apple in that general area.
Okay.
Right? The reason I'm bringing it up is because MASH is going to be an oyster bar, right?
Yeah.
And they're also going to have like, you know, they're going to smoke their own meats and specialize in seafood. But there's a rumor out there that MASH is going to have an all-Chicago draft list.
Oh, that could be cool.
So it's the crew that that brought you Riverview Tavern and Merkle up in Wrigleyville.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm hearing.
That MASH is a pretty good name.
Yeah. MASH is a great name. The artwork is all shaped. The name, the letters, M-A-S, whatever, however you spell it.
I'm mashed together?
No, they're all, they all look like pieces of brewing equipment.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And you might get an all-Chicago tap list from them.
Nice. So you, I guess you're going there thinking it's going to have good beer, but maybe they're also thinking about a brew pub kind of idea,
You would
too.
Think. Yeah. If with a name like MASH, I'm thinking, like, long-term, you're probably going to start a brewery.
Hmm.
Yeah. So.
We're just starting rumors here.
Yeah. And this is all, everything I told you is just a lie. Just one big lie. No.
None of these events are happening. None of this news. Well, that's awesome. Man, a lot of news this week. A lot of fun events. We made it to and coming up. But Nick, if people want to get in touch with you, how can they find you? If they have questions about these events or, you know, want to give you some more news to let us, let everyone know about.
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And you can find me on Twitter. It's at BRad. Chicago Beer Pass is on Twitter at Chicago Beer Pass. Or Facebook / Chicago Beer Pass. We usually post all the events we find, not only that we mention on the show, but sometimes there's like little ones that maybe they happen on Monday or Tuesday and they just popped up and we don't mention them on the show. Yeah. So we share them on there. And then photos go up there. So definitely like us up there. And then the website is chicagobeerpass.com. All the episodes are posted there. Links to iTunes. Subscribe. You know, leave a review. Love seeing that. Helps other people find the show. And that'll do it for this week's episode. Thanks for listening.
Cheers.